Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This is the third shiur talking about the Babbage Rebbe upon the 28th yahrzeit of the Rebbe, which is coming right up, the Shabbos. And this year should be a schus l'refuah sipor fega v'asadas v'sol shalai Yisrael v'nishmas Reuven ben Yaakov Aaron. And there's a beautiful sefer called Sipurim Echadar Rebbe, stories from the Rebbe's room, interviews with the Rebbe's gabbayim, written by Rabbi Nachum Ziegelbaum. So here you have Mamish, what's going from the people on the inside. The Rebbe was concerned not only with, so that's the stories that we're going to be telling are based on the Sefer. The Rebbe was concerned not only with Jews, the Rebbe was concerned, Kayadua, with the Umos HaOlam as well. One time, a senator from New York called Rebbe Leibel, and he said, I'm not Jewish, but I have a very serious family problem. I went to a number of people and I haven't found the solution. And my Jewish senator friend said, it's worthwhile for you to go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He can help you. So because of this person's request, Reb Leibel gave him a time for Yechidus. After he comes out of the Rebbe's room, he was very, very emotional. I told him, I don't ask about personal things, but is there something that you heard from the Rebbe that other people can benefit from? I'd like to know. So he told me the following story. I went into the Rebbe and I told him the problem. I have to tell you that I thank my Jewish friends who sent me to the Rebbe. He gave me a very, very precise solution to the problem. After about 15 minutes, I got up and I was ready to go. The Rebbe asked me to remain sitting. And he said, now we're going to switch it around. I want to ask you a favor. So I saw two versions of the story. One version of the story, he thought to himself, here's the payoff. It's like everyone else. What does everyone else do? They, you get something from me, now I want something back. I want something in return. Here's the payoff. That's what the senator was thinking to himself. In the other version, the senator thought to himself, well, you want to ask me? People are always coming to you with requests, but what do you need to ask me? So I listened. So the Rebbe said that in Manhattan, there's a neighborhood of Chinese people called Chinatown. We all know the Lower East Side. And the Rebbe found out that recently there was some money that had been approved to develop the neighborhood in order that people could benefit. The Rebbe heard that for whatever reason, the money wasn't coming in. Since you're a senator that represents them, said the Rebbe, check with your staff what's up with this money. People can benefit. And life should be better. It's clear to me, said the senator, that there's not one Chinese person in Manhattan who knows the Rebbe. And I'm pretty sure that Rabbi Schneerson doesn't know any Chinese people in Manhattan either. When he heard that there are people who need help, and there's a way maybe he could help them, he did what he could. He used this opportunity to try to help them. Amazing. In the first years of the Rebbe's Nisius, what Chabadnikim call his Nisius, the Rebbe used to send every year a Berachas Shana Tova to the Chassidim. One time, the label brought in a letter, Shana Tova card, that was sent to a chassid who had died that year. Before it was known that he had died, the letter came back in the mail. So the Rebbe saw the letter, he said, listen, even a chassid who dies needs a Shana Tova. You just don't know his address. When the Rebbe used to give out dollars on Sunday, he was in a different world. And he saw a lot of things that other people didn't see. We just heard tonight a story from one of the well-known Hasidim. And when he was online, this was mamish right before the Rebbe had his stroke. And he was online, and there was a couple, there was a father with his 5-6-year-old daughter with him. They didn't look, definitely not Chabad, probably not even religious. And they came by the Rebbe. The Rebbe gave them each a dollar, and he wished them bracha and hatzlacha or whatever. And then the girl cried out, "Rabbi Schneerson, Rabbi Schneerson, I love you." And the Rebbe gave a big smile. His face shone. And he gave the girl another dollar. And he said, "This is for your love." Wow. So Rabbi Leibel says that he's standing there on those Sundays, on those long Sundays, hours and hours the Rebbe is standing on his feet. This old man in his 80s. Standing on his feet for hours at a time. And he saw mamish moisim, shel mamish mizgalgalim mitachas l'shulchan. Miracles. The Rebbe was in a different world, the Rebbe knew. A lot of amazing stories. There was a wealthy woman who related that she needed a bracha, and she even prepared what she wanted to say in front of the Rebbe. But when she got to the Rebbe, she wasn't able to open her mouth. She was so awestruck. Nevertheless, the Rebbe gave her a bracha and answered all of her questions that she wasn't even able to ask. Once, after the disbursement of the dollars, the Rebbe asked me, says Reb Leibel, "What did I say to Adam Pliny? What did I say to Palmini?" In other words, he was there but not there. One of the Shluchei HaRebbe in a state in the United States came to 770 one Sunday, and he's accompanying one of the wealthy people in his kehillah. Gives a lot of money to the local Chabad house, and this rich man came along with his wife and with their children. The first one that passes by is the shliach. And the shliach introduces the gvir. And the Rebbe turns to the gvir, and he gives him a dollar for tzedakah and bracha. And he says, "This dollar is because you helped the Beis Chabad, the Chabad house." And then the wife and the three children walk by. To the first son, the Rebbe gave another dollar, and he said, "This dollar is for helping your parents." The second son got a dollar, and he said, "This is for helping your father." The third son got a dollar, and the Rebbe said, "This is for all the good things you do, all your good work." B'char, regular brachas, but now every word was precise. When they left, when they finished, so the shliach of the Rebbe noticed that this gvir was very emotional. And he said, "That's a man of God." "You don't understand," says the Gevir to the Shliach, "what was special about what the Rebbe said, but I'm going to explain to you. The first son that I presented, I introduced to the Rebbe, got a bracha for helping your parents, is actually our common son, me and my wife together. The second son for helping your father is my son, but from a different woman. For helping your father." That's why he said only your father. "And the third son, the Rebbe said, for your good work. He's adopted." "It's the first time the Rebbe saw me. Never met me before. And he already knows everything about me. This is his son with his wife. This is his son from someone else. And this is Bechlal adopted. Wow." Rabbi Yitzchak David Groner is a shliach in Melbourne. It's Rabbi Groner's brother. So he once got a very important shlichus from the Rebbe. And he thought to himself, "How am I going to get the kochos to be matzliach in this shlichus? And the Rebbe like read his thoughts, and he said immediately, "What are you worried about? I'm going with you." One of the nights of the Yechidus, there were hundreds of Hasidim who were waiting to go into the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says that only guests who came for the Chag special are allowed to come in for the Yechidus. And so Rebbe Leibel was makbid that only those people who came special or traveled from afar were allowed to come in. There was a certain boy who had recently emigrated to America from Russia. And he heard the Rebbe's being makabel for Yechidus. He wanted to go in. The label said, no. Tonight it's only guests. You're here permanently. Tonight it's only guests. Another time. One of the guests, who also had left Russia, and knew this boy, from there, apparently mentioned this when he was inside with the Rebbe. And when he left, he said the Rebbe wants to be receive this boy be Yechidus. It wasn't Pashut. There were a lot of people who wanted to go into Yechidus with the Rebbe. And the Rebbe wanted that Dafka, this boy should go in. So Rebbe Leibel went into the Rebbe's room. And the Rebbe saw that Rebbe Leibel was surprised what was going on. And he said, "Are you a Maven in Neshamas? This boy has to come in now." And that's it. But Melech Naiman, it's a chassid, a ger chassid from Borough Park. So he would visit from time to time 770. He would stand on the higher floor. Samach lepesach haknitza leganina atachton, as they call in Chabad. Ganina elyon, ganina atachton, the higher floor, the lower floor. I've never been there, so I don't know. That's my stupidity. When the rabbi got sick, I was a bachur of about 20 years old. So I had from age 0 till age 20 to go. And I didn't take advantage. So how dumb can I be, right? Okay, I didn't know. As a child. So Leilach Naim was a gerachos from Bar Bark, and he used to go visit 770 from time to time. He would stand on the higher floor of the Kohen El Yonah, next to the Pesach of the Knis of Get, the Gan Eden HaTachton, because he wanted to receive from the Rebbe some private Yachas Yishi. Some personal attention, like a bracha for a good evening, or something like that. So one time the Rebbe opens up the door of his holy room, and he turns to this Rav Naiman. He turns to to Reb Leibel, to call Reb Naiman. Leibel told the Rebbe wants to bring him into his room. So when he got there, the Rebbe received him, and he was standing by the entrance to his room. He didn't bring him in. He said the following, "Der Welt sagt, as I am crazy about Mashiach, und sie sehnen gerecht." The world says that I'm crazy about Mashiach, and they're right. And then he said, "A good ovens, a good evening." And he went into his room. Wow. In the year Tufshin and Beis, 92, the Rebbe said he doesn't see the Kleine Oisius in the Gemara. He doesn't see the small letters well. So Rav Leibel invited a doctor. And after an examination, he gave him a bigger number on his glasses. Afterwards, the Rebbe said, "He's still saying he can't see clearly." So Rav Leibel invited the eye doctor again to come, and he said he has to do an examination with a special machine in his clinic, and he can't bring, wouldn't be easy to bring the machine to the Rebbe. Can the Rebbe come and he'll make sure no one else is there at that time? And so it was. They went to his mirpah, his clinic, and as doctors do before these eye tests, he put some drops in the Rebbe's eyes, to open up the pupils, and then you have to wait about 15 minutes until the There's a hashpa of these drops. So the Rebbe took advantage of the opportunity, the doctor took advantage of the opportunity, and he turned to the Rebbe and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" And the Rebbe said, "Yes." He said, "How could it be that after all the great the works of Chabad in the world, like I see when I travel around, this doctor used to be in Askin also. So he used to go to different countries in the world and he saw the great things Chabad are doing. How can it be Mashiach hasn't yet come?" The doctor asked the Rebbe. The Rebbe smiled, a big smile, and he said, "It's a question by me as well. But apparently there's still a little bit left." And then here he made a sign with his hand to fill up the coast. "And therefore, whenever I speak to the Chassidim, I arouse them to do more." And the Rebbe used the following lashon: "I don't let my Chassidim sleep." The Rebbe used to take, as is well known, people for Yechidus, hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. Incredible. You know, you want somebody to help you with your problems, you go to a psychologist. It could be, you know, $300 an hour, $400 an hour. Put you in their book, get an appointment. But if you're not going to give the $300, $400, or whatever it costs, you're not getting in. And that's fine. People have to make a living. The Rebbe, not only the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but many Rebbes, and Tzaddikim, and Goinim, and Mekubalim, they sit Yomam B'Layla and they just receive people for free. Absolutely for free. And I dare say that they have often a lot more to give than the people who are being paid to do so. So that's just a testament to the greatness of our leaders and our Tzaddikim. So on a website of a certain popular author and lecturer, and he said, "If you want to ask me a personal question about yourself, it's not possible. I'm sorry, I don't speak to people. The only way you can do it is if you sign up for my classes. Then, as part of the class, at the end, you can ask questions in front of everybody." So, again, a guy has to make a living. Let him make his living. May God make him only successful. But again, you see the godless of our tzaddikim. They meet. It doesn't matter how great you are. Chaim Kanievsky, the top of the top of the top. They just meet with people day and night. Thousands upon thousands of hours. These are people whose time is so valuable. So the Rebbe really gave his all for these yechidus as long as he was doing them. In the year 1951, when his mother-in-law, Rabbi Chamadina, found out that the Seder of Kabbalah Seyechidus Eitzel Rebbe is from 8:30 at night until 5 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine? She calls three of the Ziknei Hasidim. And others, including Rabbi Levitin, Rabbi Kazaranovsky, Rabbi Simpson. And she said to him, "Ihr seid Shevchei Domim, you're murderers. I heard from my Shver, the Rebbe the Rashab, that when the Rebbe does the Yechidus, he gives his last drop of blood." And she concluded and she said, "I don't know what's going to be with my son-in-law if the Yechidios continue like this, because he's giving his last drop of blood, remember, from 8:30 at night until 5:30 in the morning. Sometimes you just keep going till 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 10, just keep going." Everyone said to his maskir, Shalom Mendel Simpson, secretary, one of the secretaries, that he wants to stop this yichidus because the whole idea of yichidus is for ruchnius. And Mamela, once you're ready there, you ask about gashmius. But now it's everybody's asking about gashmius. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. But the file, the Rebbe didn't stop. And that was because of the initiative of Reb Shmuel Levitin, who organized a group of 15 Bachrim who are going to go in for Yechidus and only ask about Ruchnius. Menachem Edel Groner, the son of the Maskir, adds that one year his father related to him, Reb Label, Rebbe suddenly told him that he doesn't want to answer about Gashmius anymore. Got too many tirdas, doesn't have time for gashmis. So Reb Label said that in one of the Rebbe's sichas, he related about the Alter Rebbe, who asked that they shouldn't ask for gashmis, because that's shaykh to a Navi or to a Choyze, but not for someone who's supposed to teach Torah. The Rebbe's job is to teach Torah, what are you asking for gashmis for? And the Rebbe adds, and he says, the chassidim of the Alter Rebbe didn't listen. And they kept the famous letter of the Alter Rebbe that he said, stop asking about Gashmis. But they didn't listen. They just kept asking about Gashmis. And Taka, the Alter Rebbe, kept receiving them, even in these Inyanim of Gashmis. So in that Sikh, the Rebbe explained that from this we understand that the Alter Rebbe was Bechinas Navi. And that's why he even received for Gashmis, because he had said that it's the Navi who gives advice on Gashmis, while Jampa Rebbe is Ruchnias. If he was giving advice on Gashmis, it must be his Bechinas Navi. That was what the Reb Label told the Rebbe. He reminded him of that Sicha. The Rebbe lifted up his eyes and he said, are you comparing me to the Alter Rebbe? And Reb Label said, of course. And the Rebbe didn't directly answer, but he did continue to receive people who asked about Gashmis, thankfully, because he helped so many people in so many different ways. A Jew by the name of Yecheskel HaKohen Rodik, and he knew the Rebbe already from before the Nesias, and he was friends with Rav Yitzchak David Groner from Australia. Olav Shalom. After Yud Shvat of Shin Yud Aleph, that's 1951, when the Rebbe became Rebbe, a year after the Shveret died. So he met Rav Yitzchak David Groner and he said, this Rebbe is different than other Rebbes. With this Rebbe, you're not going to have not day, not night. He's going to demand more and more. And you're never going to be happy with what you're never going to suffice with what you did. After 4 or 5 years, he calls up Reb Label and he says, until now, I haven't asked for Yechidus. But I have something very, very urgent to talk about with the Rebbe. So he arranged for Yechidus 2 or 3 weeks later. When he came out from the Rebbe after this Yechidus, he took Reb Label aside and he said, if I hadn't seen it myself, I wouldn't believe it. So of course, we believe the Rebbe has Ruach HaKodesh, but when you see it personally, it's different. The person related as follows. I'm writing a book in English about Jewish history, and I want the book to be as authentic as possible. I want it to be a real Jewish history book. And when I got to the Tkufa of Yashka, of Osaish, since I'm a Sherem Torah Mitzvahs, I thought, I can't write about this in you. And nevertheless, if I don't write about it, then people aren't going to receive the book. People aren't going to accept the book. So I spoke to a few people, and I didn't find an Eitza. So I decided the only one who can help me is the Rebbe. So when I got to the room of the Rebbe, the Mamish felt the Kedusha. And I said, how can I even mention those 2 words, Oysa Eish, and I said, I'm not going to talk about it in the Yechidus. The Rebbe was Makabalim B'Sefer Panim Yafis, and after about 15 minutes, I wanted to go, I was about to go, and the Rebbe said, Rebbe Cheskel, Blayb, do. And he said, "Stay here, stay. You're hiding something from me." So he was very shocked by the fact that the Rebbe felt that he's not telling him something he wants to tell. And then the Rebbe surprised him and he said, "You have a problem writing about this in this period? And you're right. But you can write like a from Jew writes." It was amazing. It was like the Rebbe read my mind and he answered my question. Says Reb Leibel, one day before he was going to travel to Eretz Yisrael, in Adar Lamed Tes, 1979, the Rebbe spoke to him at length, and among other things, the Rebbe said, "I don't ask the Hasidim to have a lot of seichel, a little bit of seichel it's mutter for you to have." That's his line. The Russian Jews used to call the Rebbe Zayde, Saba. They used to say it in Russian, Dyadushka, which means grandfather. And that's how he signed his letters that were sent on his behalf to behind the Iron Curtain in the very, very dark days of Russia. Today's are also dark days in Russia. Different type of dark days, but also dark days. Of course, the name Schneerson was dangerous. It's usser for Jewish Russian Jews, and they know what Schneerson represents. And therefore, when a chassid from behind the Iron Curtain would get a letter and it would say Saba, everybody knew who it meant. The Rebbe's secretariats, Groner, Benjamin Klein, Yehuda Krinsky, they related that. They knew that at 770 there were spies. There were Russian spies in 770, and they wanted to know what's going on. What are they planning over here against us? So everything done at 770 on behalf of Russian Jews was done very, very secretively, and even the Rebbe secretaries didn't know some of what was going on. And it was already in the 60s, the Rebbe knew that there were Russian spies were in 770, and it could even be he knew who they were. And they would come to the Farbrengens and Shabbos and Yontif. When the Rebbe's words weren't televised, recorded, he wanted to say, what's the Rebbe saying about Russian Jewry and about the Russian government? The Rebbe himself said a number of times that he knows clearly that they're here. And then the people try to figure out who it is, who the spies are. They have to parade, the Lag BaOmer parade. In 1987, the Rebbe went into his room. He turned to the person who organized the parade, Rabbi Yaakov Hecht, and he said, "Die Spionim seinen gewesen da." The spies were here. He saw them. Rabbi Kroner relates that one day, 770, there was a certain person who was very, very suspicious. And they thought he was a Russian spy. And he's sniffing around 770 for a few days. And he even rented a basement apartment by one of the Hasidim who lived near 770. And after a few days, he wanted to go in for Yechidus. So Rav Groner pushed him off for obvious reasons. The next day again, he comes to what they call the Gan Eden HaTachton, and he stands next to the door of the Rebbe's holy room. And it's clear he wants to go into the room when first opportunity. So Rav Groner quickly calls security, and he tells this person that I called New York City police to check who he is and what he's doing here. When he heard that the policemen are coming, he immediately left 770, went to the basement that he had rented, took his stuff, and wasn't seen again in 770. One day, two people come into the secretariat, and they say that they're looking for Label Mutzkin. Label is one of the leaders of the Chabad underground after the Second World War, and he helped hundreds of Hasidim run away from the horrific Russia to the only slightly less horrific Poland. He would get them out of Russia via false Polish citizenship. And that's how he'd get them. I don't think he'd get them to Poland. What are they going to do in Poland? Get them to New York. Get them to Israel. But he would help them with false passports. So these guys asked him, you know Label Mutzkin? And Rav Label said, I don't know who he is. Never heard of him. And in response, they said, you heard there was once a Jew named Peretz Mutzkin. He's a famous mashpia in Chabad. He has a son named Label. Can't be that you don't know who he is. So he went to warn Rav Mutzkin that they're looking for him. This is the scary part. That tkufa, the brothers of Rav Label, Rav Yosef Mutzkin, and Rav Shmuel Mutzkin, were in the Russian prison, the indescribable, torturous Russian prison, Chmal Litzlan. And later on, when they were freed, they related that their interrogators told them, very soon your brother Label is going to join you. And this is though, even though Label had already been a number of years in New York, you know, what the Russians were planning was to somehow kidnap him and bring him to Russia, get him to come back to Russia somehow, and put him in jail. And they had asked at that time, they'd asked about Rav Groner. That's why they're looking for him. They asked Rav Groner, and they're trying to get this Rav Label Mutzkin. Another instance, an older Jew comes to 770, and he said he wants to speak to the Rebbe in his room. And he looked like a Russian spy. So Rav Label pushed him off. And he said, no, he has to speak to somebody. So I said, all right. And he asked Rav Kharkov if he's willing to speak to this Jew. And Rav Kharkov said yes. So when he started talking to Rav Kharkov, he raised his sleeve. And on his wrist, he had a watch. And then Derech Agav, just by the way, he brought his watch close to Rav Kharkov. And Rav Kharkov understood that with his very clever, he saw that inside this watch was a tiny recording device. In other words, this guy is bringing his watch close to him so he can record him. And then Rav Kharkov was obviously careful with every word that came out of his mouth. So these are just some amazing stories about the Rebbe. And obviously, with the thousands of them, and there's no Hasidus, there's no Jewish group in the world like Chabad who's good at recording things and the cutting edge of technology. It was already a Chabad Chassid, I don't remember his name, but he was Nifter in the 80s, I think, yet. And he was a real computer whiz. And he was already, you know, setting the stage for Chabad.org before there was even internet, or when internet was just starting. Chabad is always thinking ahead, and they recorded everything. And just amazing what they had from the Rebbe. And whether it's writing it down, and recording it, and videoing it. So, they've been making sure the last few decades to get every person who has a good Rebbe story that they should record the story and that it should be recorded for posterity and that we should be able to grow from these stories in our Amunas Chachamim and our Bodhis Hashem. So we still have, obviously, many more thousands of great stories to tell. So hopefully we'll be able to continue. And thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom.